Thank you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
Psalms 122 verse 1. It says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. If you're glad to be here today, I want you to give a big shout. Yes, Jesus! Amen. And then you can take your seats. Isn't it good that we can come to church? Sometimes we take it for granted. But if you've ever been anywhere in the world where it's difficult to go to church, let me see your hands. Huh? Where it's hard to go to church, where it's difficult to go to church. Put your hands right up, because some of us can't see your hands. For the rest of us, that idea of it being difficult to go to church is alien. Because we live in a land, we live in a society where church still, even though people come against the idea of church, even though sometimes people, when you tell them that you're a Christian, they think that you're a lunatic, you're a nutter, that you don't understand what's taking place. Amen. You know, how many of you have ever, you've told someone you're a Christian, they thought you're stupid? You're unscientific, you've got blind faith, it might be good for you. Even though some people have that idea, the fact is that church is God's idea. And we have to understand what church means for us to be unapologetic about being part of it and coming to it. Amen? And I just want to talk about church a little bit. But I'm like the psalmist. I love coming to church. I love telling people about church. I love directing people to come to church. I love it when new people come to church. I love it when old people come to church. I love it when people come back to church that haven't been to church for a while. But we have to understand what it all means. Because we live in a very individualistic society. We live in a society of where everything is private. Everything is about this is mine, that is yours, do not cross the boundary. And we have to understand that that's not always how it was, and that's not how God created it to be. God created us to live in community. Some of you know, if you've ever lived a life of loneliness, I'm not talking about being alone. There's a difference between being alone and being lonely. But if you've ever known loneliness, you know how crippling that can be. But God created us to live in community. He even said after he created man, because how many of you know he created man first, sisters? Amen. He created the man first, Adam. He created the man first. And the Bible says he created a man and woman. Amen. So, you know, there's a definite difference between the two, right? But he created man first, and then after a while he looked down, he said, it is not good for man to be alone. Because how many of you know, things was getting out of place. The animals were just doing what they wanted. Amen. Nothing was being taken care of. He was just existing on bananas and, you know, big piles of banana skins. And so God looked down and said, it's not good for man to be alone. He needs a helper. In fact, he needs a helpmate. In fact, the Bible is clear about it, and it says he was an ezekinego, the helpmate, and it literally means a lifesaver. So then he put man asleep, which wasn't difficult. It's not difficult to put man to sleep, amen? Feed him, give him a couch. Then he operated on the man. He took out his rib, the place that was closest to his heart. Place that guards his heart. Amen. And he fashioned a woman from that place. Praise the Lord. And then he put them together. Because we are supposed to live in community. And everyone in community has a part in that community. It's a communal unity. We have we're meant to worship the same God. We're meant to go for the same purpose. We're meant to have the same purpose in life. We're meant to understand the same meaning. But each of us is individual in that, but we play our role corporately. The church is us. Turn around, look at your neighbor and say, the church is us. And the church is God's idea. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 14, Jesus asks his disciples who they think he is, and they come up with different ideas. But then Simon Peter says, well, you're the Christ. You are the Messiah. the Son of the living God. And Jesus said to him, well done, Peter. You didn't come up with that yourself. But my Father gave you the ability to understand that. He said, upon this rock, he said, I'm going to build my church. That wasn't Peter. You know, the church is not built upon a man. It is built upon the revelation of God. He said, upon this revelation of who I am, I'm going to build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. God has an idea that his people would live together in community and that we would all have a part to play in that. And it doesn't matter what comes against the church. The Romans try to take the church out. Come on now. Everyone's trying to take the church out. Even today, people try and shut the church up, take the church out, shut the church down. But the gates of hell can't even shut the church down. Because it's God's idea. And if God says it's going to happen, it's going to happen. And if he wants it to take place, it's going to take place. Doesn't that give you a little bit of encouragement, a little bit of hope and solidity? We are the church. He is committed to build it. But he wants us to participate in it. The Apostle Paul speaks about the church like this in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and 23. He says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ. How many things? All things. All authority has been given to Christ. He runs everything. He rules everything. Everything belongs to him. Even the things that don't know it yet. He said, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. When he talks about church in the New Testament, it has a word called ecclesia. Ecclesia. This is a Greek word. It's from the same language that brought us kebab. Amen. Some of you, that might be the only Greek you know, but trust me, the New Testament was written in Greek. This is the word ecclesia. Now listen, ecclesia was a secular word, not a religious word. And all it meant was a gathering of people. Now, you go to Old Trafford, you go to the Etihad, you know, you're going to church with this definition. It's where people gather for a purpose. If you go to Man United's ground, there is a bit in there, it says, Man United or Old Trafford is my heaven. There's banners up there. This is my church. You see it in football grounds. People go there and they worship together, right? They sing songs. They complain. Amen. It's just like church. They pay money. Amen. It's just like church. They want entertainment. It's just like church. But what happened was when the church, original church, got this word, something was added to this body of people that gather together and we actually got ahead. Hallelujah. The other bodies and gatherings of people, wherever it is, they haven't got a head. They're just a body. But we have a head. His name is Jesus. Amen. That makes us different, is that we have a head. We have someone that leads us and guides us and thinks for us and looks after us and gives us a purpose. And that is what church is now. It's a powerful thing to understand that it is a body, a group of people with a body and a head. Now, being a body, it means that it's got different parts. I don't know about you, but I've often wondered what part I am in the body of Christ. Sometimes in my bad days, I think I'm an armpit. Amen. Someone said to me once, you don't look like Brad Pitt, you look like his older brother Arm. I didn't know how to take that. But then in my good days, sometimes I'm more of a mouthpiece or a right hand. Or if I have to discipline someone, a right foot. But what part do you play in the body? Everyone has a part. It doesn't matter if you're the hand or you're the mouth or you're the ear. A hand can't hear anything, right? That's why your teenagers, when you try speaking to them, speak to the hand. I can't do that wiggly head thing. Amen. I know. Speak to the hand, because the hand can't hear you, but the ear can hear you. But the ear can't pick nothing up. Have you ever tried? You ever tried picking something up with your ear? Come on now. I know some of you try and pick things up with your mouth, right? Or your toes, because you're lazy, and you'll just sit on the couch and you'll reach out and you'll pick it up with them little monkey toes you got. Try and bring it back over. Come on now. How many of you have done that? I do that. I've got amazingly flexible toes. Right? But it doesn't matter. Every part is relevant. Every part has a purpose. Even the parts that you can't see. Sometimes in church we think, well, I haven't got a part to play. I'll just come and I come to church, but I'm not part of the church. No, if you come to church, if you're saved, then you're part of the church and you have a role to play. But it might be that, well, I'm not a singer, so I'm not part of the worship, and I'm not a pastor, and I can't preach, and I don't like public speaking, and I'm not a leader, and I'm not this, and I'm not that, and I'm not technical, so therefore I can't play a part in the, you know. But that's just the visible stuff. But how many of you know you can see your hands, you can see your stomach? Everyone's got a stomach, amen. Some of our stomachs are more prominent than others. That's okay. Everyone has these visible things, but what about your liver? Huh? When was the last time someone complimented you on your liver? All right, how you doing? Nice to see you. Oh, lovely liver. It doesn't happen. But try living without a liver. Come on now. That's why it's called a liver. It's all right. Praise the Lord. Even the bits we can't see, even if you just come and you just give, even if you give a little bit of time, even the ones that are out there in the children's ministry, even the ones that are out there on the car park, who greeted you on the car park? Someone greeted you when you came in. Someone was out there. Someone's behind the scenes. Someone's out there doing a sound desk. Someone's doing stuff online. Someone's over in the hotel. Someone's out somewhere else. Someone's cooking. Someone's cleaning. Someone does all that stuff. Are you with me? But every one of us is valued by God because we're all part of the body. We're all part of the church. Everyone's part of the church. Even if you just come and you sit, if you say amen in a service and you encourage the preacher, then praise the Lord, that's a good part. Huh? Some of you are the heartbeat of the church. Some of you are the legs. Some of you are the feet. But without you, we wouldn't be able to stand. Some of you are the arms. And we thank God that you've always been by our side. Huh? Hallelujah. Come on. Come on. Turn around, look at your neighbor, say, come on. You're part of it. Be a part of it. Don't be apart from it. Right? Huh? Some of you are in the office. Some of you do stuff, but we're all part of the church. So church is a place and it's a people where we gather together. But what makes a Christian church different than an unbelieving church or a secular church is that we have Christ at our head, front and center, in our midst. And I don't know about you, but that means that we have everything because he's over everything. Everything is in his control, under his sovereignty. And he has power over everything. Church is powerful. And it gives us connection. And life makes sense when you're connected with God. It also takes on a new quality when you're connected to other people who share your interests and your outlooks. And all of us need other people in order to be well and thrive. And if we're honest, it actually makes us feel better just being around other people at times. Even introverts need people. Come on now. We just don't need them all the time. Hello. Whether you're an introvert or an extrovert, you need people. Makes us feel better when you're around someone. How many of you feeling down? And then someone comes along and picks you up. You're feeling ugly. And then someone says to you, no, you're not ugly. Amen. You're not pretty either. You're not pretty, you're not ugly. You're pretty ugly, amen. But it lifts our spirits. It makes us feel better. Maybe not that, but you know what I mean? Might give us a little chuckle. But we need people. We need relationships. I read an article about the benefits of connected relationships. So connected relationships give us the ability to love and be loved. You get mutual understanding. I mean, if you know, it's difficult to even understand yourself. You can be on your own and sometimes you can't even understand yourself. Hello? How many of you have confused yourself at times? Right? And then it takes someone else to come in and talk you out of the nonsense that you've talked yourself into. Huh? What about caring? You know, sometimes we think, well, I'd rather just care for myself. But then you don't, do you? Huh? Who's telling you about sleep, that sleep in your eyes? There'll be a toothpaste down your chin. Come on now. Right? Then it's a source of direct help in times of trouble. Someone there to pick you up. And the Bible talks about this in Ecclesiastes. If two are better than one, if one falls in a pit, the other one's there to pick them up. Right? Then there's a celebration of good times. You ever try to celebrate on your own? I mean, have you ever celebrated your birthday or Christmas by your own, by yourself? How sad is that? It's like one, you know, a little candle. Happy birthday to me. Giving yourself a present. Huh? But we can celebrate good times. How sad is it when you've got something to celebrate, but you've got no one to celebrate with? I just graduated. You're looking in the mirror. Oh, well done. Did you see that? Yeah. Wow. I don't know what happened, man. It was like a beam of light from the sky. Light came down from the sky. It's a sign. I'm on the right track. What about the validation of self-worth? Security. A diversity of ideas and influences to help us learn and grow. What about fun? You have fun with people. I'm an introvert. I like dipping in and, you know, I pick people very carefully. Amen. When I was younger, before I learned to grow and to get capacity, I always wanted to be a unicorn. So then I could stab idiots with my head. Amen. But now I've changed. Now I know that people have quirks and they're different. And I love people's differences. I mean, if you know, it's great when you see people with differences. Celebrate the difference. Are you with me? It's fantastic. But we need it. What about fun? You can have fun on your own, but I mean, if you know, it's better to have fun in a group, right? Belonging to a group or a community gives us a sense of identity. It helps us understand who we are and feel a part of something larger than ourselves. And this is good for us because it gives us dignity, it gives us belonging, it gives us a destiny. It gives us something that sometimes we can't get for ourselves. Being in community gives us that. Researchers also found that people with strong social connections have less stress-related health problems. Stress is a killer. Huh? But if you're part of a community, you can share, right? You get less stress when you've got people there to help you out. It also says that people that have strong social connections in this type of community have a lower risk of mental illness. Huh? That's heavy. A lower risk of mental illness and a faster recovery from trauma or illness. Friends and family can also encourage and support us in healthy lifestyle habits, such as exercise, moderate eating. Left to yourself, you're going to sit on the couch and you're going to end up having a snackcident. You know what that is? That means you start off having a snack and then all the biscuits are gone. All the cake is gone. All the chocolate's gone. All the Maltesers are gone. All the crisps are gone. All the chicken is gone. The whole bucket of jollof rice is gone. Huh? And then you don't know where it's gone because you've been sitting there on your own and you had a snackcident. New word in your vocab, right? Snackcident. How many of you have ever had a snackcident? Let me see your hands. But how many of you know, if you've got someone else with you, they're like, you're going to eat all them? Huh? Can't eat all them. Put them away. Anything like my wife, she comes like a ninja hoover. Puts it away. I can't put anything down in my house without it being put in a cupboard. Even me socks, and it's still on me feet. I'm like... Huh? But in community, exercise. You're going to just lay there all day? You're going to just sit there all day, are you? Huh? Get up, go for a walk. It's raining outside. Yeah, all right. I ain't got no motivation. Here's the thing about motivation. The best way to get motivation is to have a motive. Huh? You don't want to go to the gym because you ain't got a motive for going to the gym. Your motive is crushed because you go to the gym and you see all these fit-looking buds in Lycra lunging, and you got some baggy old tracksuit and you're feeling fat and unfit and you don't even want to do it. So just to go there is no motive. But to go there and lose 14 pounds for Run for Hope, to go there and to be able to run a 5 or 10K for Run for Hope, to go there and be able to get a beach body for your holiday so you don't feel like you've got a beached body, like a beached whale or a seal, but to go there and lose a few pounds so you've got a six-pack instead of a one-pack is a motive. Then that gives you a motivation. And as you measure it, well, I've lost 4 pounds. Well, I've lost 6 pounds. Well, I've lost 8 pounds. Now, all of a sudden, you're motivated to do it. But try to do that on your own. Even Olympic, you've been watching The Athletics? I've been watching it, I love it. But these fit as a butcher's dog athletes, they don't go out and train on their own. They have a training camp, they have a coach, they're in a community. That's right, preach it, I'm preaching it. Huh? Praise the Lord. Researchers have found that people are happier when they're with other people than when they're alone. And the boost is the same for introverts and extroverts. Check that out. They also are finding that happy people are more pleasant, helpful, and sociable. Nah. Huh? Praise the Lord. I mean, you know, when you're happy, it's better to be around you. When my wife is happy, happy wife, happy life. Huh? When I am one of the dwarfs not known as grumpy or sleepy or dopey, my wife loves it better. Are you with me? Happier people. And being around the right people increases that sense of happiness. And then you become a better person to be around. And this happens for every type of people. So being around people makes us feel happier. When we're happier, we're more fun to be around. We create an upward spiral of happiness. Happiness is surprisingly contagious. Psychologist James H. Fowler studied the data of 5,000 people over 20 years, and he found that happiness benefits other people through 3 degrees of connection, and that the effects last for a year. So in other words, you're happy, you bless someone else, that has a knock-on effect to someone else, that has a knock-on effect to someone else, and then that happens across the board with them as well. So your happiness from being surrounded by the right people and the right environment has a knock-on effect that could affect the whole of Manchester. If all of us, oh, spat on me beard there. You made me dribble on me beard, man. Huh? He says we found a statistical relationship, not just between your happiness and your friend's happiness, but between your happiness and your friend's 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 happiness. So coming to church is good. It's God's idea, because he knows that if he can get you into the right environment, if he can get the right stuff into you, if he can get you around the right people, if he can get you into the right mindset, into the right spiritual space, then not only is it going to benefit you, but it's going to benefit your friend's friend's friends. Woo! Huh? And you thought you was just dragging yourself in here to get a rescue word from God. But when you leave transformed, it has an effect on everyone around you. It's God's idea. How many of you know God's ideas are the best ideas? Huh? Because a good church enables that type of thing to take place. And in today's modern world, many of the benefits of belonging to a church can be experienced apart from the church. We can get this at football. We can get this at different places, at the club, but in different places, right? We've seen that church, ecclesia, is a gathering of other people. And some people think that you can get these benefits without coming to church. This is the Western idea. This is a Western modern idea. Access to good teaching is available on the click of a button now. You can get it on a smartphone. You can get it on an iPad, on an Android device, on a computer, whatever. You can go on Netflix. You can go on one of the other innumerable channels, and you can get stuff. You don't have to come to church. You can even watch online on Facebook or YouTube, which people are doing right now. Huh? Fellowship with other people can be had apart from a commitment to a local church family. You can go to a little group, and you have people that chase conferences. They're always at a conference. They're never at church. They're always at a conference. They're always somewhere else, right? They're never with their family. They're always with someone else's family. It's like having a teenage kid. I mean, if you know, we've got a teenage daughter. She don't want to be with us. She wants to be with all her friends all the time. We've all of a sudden become uncool. Right, that's our teenage daughter. Imagine Christians like that. Well, I don't want to be at my church. I want to be at someone else's church. What? Why? Well, they've got a series on of this. They want to do this. They want to do that. Well, that's nice. Teenager. Like a teenage Christian. Huh? You're just a teenage Christian, baby. Are you with me? What is all that? And then when you get into your 20s, all of a sudden you realize that your mum and dad were right all along. Huh? People can have prayer meetings, Bible studies without coming to church, in a coffee shop. I'm a coffee shop believer. Huh? But church is God's idea. Are you with me? This word ecclesia, when the first church was developed, was taken from the Jewish model as well of the synagogue. You had the temple, which is a place that people went, and you had the synagogue that was in different places where people were, right? Now, the synagogue, to actually be a place of worship, had to have 10 adult males. 10 adult males before it could even be concluded as a place of worship. Nowadays, you get people misquoting the scripture by saying, well, the Bible says, where two or more are gathered together, there I am in the midst of them. So I could just have church with me and me mate because Jesus will be there and that's a church. And you've completely misinterpreted scripture because that's got nothing to do with you going to church. That's got to do with people disciplining someone who's in sin. Read it, Matthew 18. Read it. Got nothing to do with you coming together and worshiping God in church. It's to do with if your brother has something against you, go to him. It's about discipline, right? To be in church, you've got to be around other people worshiping God together. Does that make sense? But some people don't worry about church. They can't be bothered about church in the Western society. It's an old thing. It's an outdated thing. It's boring. But it's God's idea. And if we don't do it, we're being disobedient to him. Are you with me? In a nutshell, that's what it is. That's where it's at. And sometimes people want too much explanation. We've got so much information available to us now, right? That we want everyone to explain everything before we'll agree to anything. But how many of you know the Israelites were like that when Moses brought them out of Egypt? There they were, just happily getting along, having their backs whipped and making bricks without straw and building someone's pyramid, right? And then all of a sudden, they got set free. They took all of the wealth of Egypt with them and they went off into the wilderness to worship this God. And they were there, all loving God, they'd been set free. But then they started hooting and moaning and complaining, right? They wanted explaining about everything. Tell me this, Moses. Why that Moses? What about that Moses? Huh? Always questioning and complaining and wanting things their own way. And this is a sign of immaturity and lack of faith. And before anyone thinks about blind faith, you know, I'm not just going to follow you. I want to know what's going on. I'm an intelligent adult. Right? It's not about blind faith. It's not about being easily led. Huh? What about just simply accepting the word of God in faith and belief and obedience? What about looking in the Bible and saying, right, that's what God says, let's do it. Huh? God wants us to gather together to learn and grow and watch out for each other and encourage each other so we can be prepared to live with each other and God for eternity. That's church. Amen? Does that make sense? And that means that you have a part to play. You'll notice in Victory Outreach that we don't have members. You don't have to sign a membership form. You don't have to put down your bank details. You don't have to give us your name and address. We don't vote you into membership. You don't have to carry the biggest Bible or wear the right clothes or say the right things to be considered as a member. We don't have membership. If you come, praise God. Come just as you are. But understand that you're coming into a transforming atmosphere where you might not stay the same. Right? God's going to challenge you. God's going to change you. God's going to get you to the place that he wants to get you into. We don't just have junkies without habits here. Are you with me? If you come in as a junkie, you're going to leave clean and free. You're not going to be putting your hand up 20 years later saying, my name's Paul, I'm a drug addict. No. My name's Paul, I used to be a drug addict. Now I'm a new creation. Jesus has set me free. Are you with me? You might come in one way, but you're going to leave another way because God is in the transformation business. Does that make sense? He wants you to be holy. He wants you to live right. If you're smoking, stop smoking. If you're stealing, stop stealing. If you're swearing, stop swearing. If you're fornicating, stop fornicating. Huh? Live right, live holy. And see the blessing that that brings. Are you with me? A couple of things I want you to know about this church. We full of Christ. We sang that song, right? In Christ alone, right? Cornerstone, Christ alone, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to sing it for you. You know the one. We follow Christ. We're part of a movement called Victory Outreach International. It is in over 30 countries around the world. Every one of those churches is called Victory Outreach. We have the same vision. We have the same mission statement. But we have vastly different personalities. Huh? This church is multicultural. You go to some Victory Outreach churches, they're all black. You go to some, they're all brown. You go to some, they're all white. Here, we're like a bag of Skittles. We got colors that even only bags of Skittles have. Huh? Different personalities, different cities. I mean, if you know, the British are different than the South Africans. You go to a Victory Outreach church in South Africa and they're going to sing, worship, dance and jump up and down for an hour. That's what they do. And that's cool. That's their culture. You go to America, it's going to be a different thing. They wear baggy clothes, the old guys. The young kids wear skinny jeans. Some of them don't work. Huh? You go to Holland, it's different. You go to Germany, it's different. Amen. Praise the Lord. You go to Liverpool, it's different. It's even a different culture in Liverpool. Amen. But we're all part of the same thing. And we have a leader, Sonny Argenzoni, that was the founder of this movement. But we follow Christ. We follow Christ. We follow Jesus Christ that was born of a virgin who entered into this world under a sign that said no entrance. He was born where the Bible said that he was going to be born, in Bethlehem. He was born at the time that the Bible said he was going to be born. He was born in the place, in that manger, in that stable, in the watchtower, the Bible says, where he was supposed to be born. The place where all of the lambs were brought to be born. The ones that were going to be examined to see which ones were without spot or blemish so that they would be used as sacrifices in the temple. The shepherds that were there were the ones that examined the lambs, and they were the first ones to come and see that Jesus Christ had been born, and they worshipped him. He was born in that place. He lived a life without sin. He lived a life of miraculous power. He disposed and destroyed the enemy's schemes. He healed the sick. Oh, you ain't even getting excited. And then he was judged, and he was condemned to death innocently. His blood was shed, poured out completely, till there was no more blood left in him. He was laid in a borrowed grave according to the scriptures. You know the story. But then after 3 days, he rose from the dead physically. Huh? No one could say anything about this. This is a fact, a historical fact. Never let anyone try and tell you otherwise. This is a historical fact. It was attested by witnesses. The greatest empire that the world had ever seen up to that point could not even say anything else. Then he was seen by hundreds of people, and then 40 days, 40 days later, he ascended back to the Father, where now he is seated at the right hand of the Father, having his work done, having salvation paid for, having the debt that we owed him paid, and now he represents you in heaven. Wow. And he's coming back. We believe he's coming back. I don't know when he's coming back, but he's coming back. He's coming back for you, and he's coming back for me. Huh? Ooh, one day. One day. One day. I don't know about you, but I want that day. I want him to come back. I want him to come back in the clouds. I want to hear the trumpet sound and the voice of the archangel. I want to go up to meet with the Lord in the clouds. I want that. I understand if you're single, you might want him to hold back a little bit. When I was single, I didn't want him to come back. I was like, no, not yet, Lord. Bible says there's no marriage in heaven. I don't want to miss out. Praise the Lord. I'm trying to preach this thing, man. It's tiring me out. We're a gospel-believing church, which means that we believe in the Word of God. We believe that if it says that you can be healed, you can be healed. If it says you can be saved, you can be saved. If it says you can be filled with the Spirit, you can be filled with the Spirit. If it says you can speak in tongues, then shendarabakosoto ramashaya. You can speak in tongues. It might be the tongues of men, it might be the tongues of angels. I have spoken both, and I've even had it attested. I spoke at an altar call once in this church, and I was speaking in tongues at the altar. The Spirit of God come on me, and there was a guy there from Malawi. And he got up like that. He said, I've been praying to God that he would answer my prayer. I've given him some things to pray that I've been praying for. And you just spoke out what I said in my dialect. I can't speak Malawian. But by the Spirit of God, you can. Huh? We believe that. Some people say, if it's not in the Bible, then I won't believe it. No, it's falling over and all that. Yeah, that's cool. There's stuff that happens that we don't understand. But if you start barking like a dog, the security will take you out for a walk. We're not charismaniacs. We're not into madness. But I'm of this opinion. If it says it in the Bible, I believe it. Victory Outreach, we see drug addicts set free without even withdrawal symptoms. Huh? We've had people's livers healed, completely healed from hepatitis. Doctors attested to it, completely gone. We've had people healed from brain cancer. We've had deaf people healed. Their ears have opened and they've heard. In this church, we've had demons cast out. Demons ain't real. Yes, they are. Not everything's a demon, mind. Some people, it's just emotional flesh. Are you with me? But you can tell the difference. When someone's body parts start swelling and changing shape, when they're looking at you with two sets of eyes like something out of Men in Black, then you know. Something's not quite right. But if they're just emotional and making noise, then tell them to shut up and go and sit down. I've had to do that as well. We believe in this. And also we're a church of opportunity and partnership. Listen, if you can sing, if you want to sing, come to the worship. Pastor Anthony will train you up. If you're technically minded, man, get on the sound, get on the lights. Social media is your thing. Get involved in social media. If you love people, get involved with the ushers. If you love cooking, come and cook. Some of you might be clean freaks. Praise the Lord. Come and clean the church, man, as much as you like. Clean it. Huh? Whatever it is. If you love the Word of God, then get involved. Get to Vetti. Come on board. If you love prayer, let's pray. If you love going out on the streets, let's go out on the streets. Whatever it is, there's a place. If you want a business, and you want to start a business, then tell us about your business. We'll pray into your business. I'll try and connect you with other people. We're even putting on stuff to help your business. It's a church of participation. If you've got a sick relative, bring them. We'll pray for them. If you've got a junky son or a junky daughter or a relation, bring them. We'll put them in the home. Let's participate. Let's get together. Let's join together. And let's do this thing called church. Amen. I want to do this. This church has grown from nothing 15 years ago, and we've grown into what you see today and even what you don't see. You know, there's another congregation, probably two, that come to this church that probably some of you have never even met. There's a congregation that comes in the first service. There's different people come in the second service. There's some people that come every couple of weeks because they're working, shift work or whatever, or they've been away. You know, there's so many different people. We have the homes that you don't see, with men and women that get set free from drugs. We have the youth outreach that we do, where we're doing youth intervention work in gang-ridden areas. You know, last night there were 10 shootings in Moss Side. 10 people got shot in Moss Side last night in the early hours of the morning. We do stuff over there in Moss Side. We have people that have come from gangs. We do stuff with business. We're doing stuff with social engagement. We're doing stuff on the internet. We're doing stuff with people in different countries. We have a church plant in Liverpool that's growing fantastically. We've got a new church that we're helping develop in East London that's growing fantastically. We have a church plant out in Germany, in Frankfurt, that's growing tremendously. We're helping out a church plant in Amsterdam, and it's growing tremendously. And it happens from here, and you're a part of that, whether or not you understand or know. But for us to develop in the way that we've developed, we've always tried to do things with integrity, with accountability, and with transparency. And as we've grown, we've actually become employers. You know, we've given people some of their first ever jobs. Huh? First ever job was with Victory Outreach Manchester. You know, we've helped people get jobs in other places. You know, we've helped people get housing. You know, we've helped people get their families back. All of these things. And we've run it with incredible help from volunteers. Your finances, your tithes and offerings help out to do all of these things. United We Can. Run for Hope is a United We Can effort. It's a pot of money that we utilize to send churches out. We're sending a church to Birmingham this coming year. Maybe one to Leeds as well this coming year. Huh? That is funded by United We Can. All of it. It's 40 or 50 grand to start a church. We've helped start four in the last couple of years. Are you with me? And we're going to be doing another two. That's United We Can. That's why we do Run for Hope. It's to raise money for United We Can. That's a lot of money. It's 200 grand for churches. But that's come from United We Can. Your tithes and offerings, they go into helping the church run, to help with all of the facilities and help with all of the outreaches and the flyers and social media and cameras and various different things. And then, you know, your money is not yours. It belongs to God, all of it. He just wants you to give a percentage of it back in worship and adoration. That's your tithes and offerings. That not only blesses us, but that blesses you, because it gets you into that place where you can have money, but money won't have you. God will bless you. But now what we want to do is, last year we needed an office manager. And we needed someone to come and just help with the admin and all of the stuff that we do. You know, we have to have all these different policies these days. Someone says, well, church should just be just gathering together. That's nice. Do that in Britain. You know what I mean? Without your policies and your insurances and your safeguarding officers and all that stuff. Good luck, GDPR. Well done. We have all of that stuff. DBS checks. So we got an office manager. And the way we did it is that we couldn't afford to take on this office manager with our tithes and offerings, but we needed to do it. So we did the 120 Club. God gave me an idea that we had 100 people would pay £20 on top of their tithes and offerings every month for a year, and that would give us the right amount of money to be able to take on a professional office manager. So we took on Ayanda, and she has been amazing. She's been incredible. And we did that for a year, and then after a year, we stopped it. And by that time, because of what she had inputted, the church had grown, and financially, the church now takes on her wage. You can give yourself a round of applause for that. But now what we need to take on a full-time accountant, because we've got to get we've got to make sure that our budgeting's right. We've got to make sure that our engagement with all of the different statutory authorities is right and correct. And we've been doing it outhouse, but we want to bring it in-house, because we want to help to facilitate all these church plants and all of these different ministries and funding and, you know, all the different initiatives that we're doing. So we've taken a step of faith, and we're going to take on a full-time finance director. Praise the Lord. So that we can be completely transparent and accountable, and no one can say we get funny about money. But to do that, we've got to raise up some money. And it's going to cost probably, with that and with the admin extras that we need, probably 40 to 50 grand over the next year. We haven't got that in the church, I'll be honest with you, with our tithes and offerings. We kind of balance it. pretty good. Our income is more than our outgoings, but just a bit. So we have a surplus, right? But not enough to take on another staff member of that quality. Fully accredited, fully trained. Has already been working for a massive Christian charity. Wants to come and work for us. So I was praying. I was saying, God, what do I do? Do I get the staff, you know, all the pastors to sell a kidney on eBay? You know, do we call it kidney for the cause or something? You know what I mean? You know, try and challenge them. You've got two. God gave you two. Give one back. You know what I mean? Obviously, that's not going to work because this is Victory Outreach and our kidneys are too well used from previous days. So I prayed. I said, God, what is it? God said, it's your vision, right, to go forward. You've got a vision to go forward. I said, yeah. He said, well, have you ever heard of 2020 vision? I said, that's perfect vision, something I haven't got. Those of us that wear glasses haven't got it. 2020 vision is perfect vision. And then he started giving me this strategy. So it's doable, it's workable. Do you want to hear what it is? All right, forget it. Forget it. Do you want to hear what it is? Come on, help a brother out, man. I'm going to let you go in a minute. We're going to baptize some people. You're going to eat food and have some fun. But right now, help me out, right? It's like being in a dentist at the moment. Old school. No anesthetic. 2020 vision, this is what it is. To raise £40,000 to £50,000 over the next year, not in one hit. It'd be nice if we got it in one hit, but we don't need it in one hit. We need it to be coming in so we can pay wages. If we got 100 people to say, you know what, I'm in this for £20 a month extra. That's £2,000 a month, right? But then we need a little bit more than that. So there's a bigger challenge that we get 20 people to give £100 a month. And I know that there's people that have got the faith to do that. Add them two things together, right, is £4,000 a month, which over 12 months equals £48,000. Now, bearing in mind that whenever we do this, some people make a vow to God and then don't pay it. Remember, I said we need at least £40,000. I'm looking at 48, but probably some people, you know, they end up not paying it or something happens and we drop £8,000. We've still got enough. I think we can get it all. We did this in the first service. We already had shed loads of people sign up. So I want to pray right now, and I want you to search your heart, search your faith, start to see how much of this you want to get involved in. And then we're going to pray, and we're going to ask you if you want to get involved, and someone's going to hand out these to you, and you can fill them in at your leisure, and you can go and see Pastor Kevin at the giving point to sort out the details. Amen? Is that cool? Sometimes you come to church to give, not just to get. Today's the day that you get both. Father in heaven, I just want to thank you for your grace, your mercy in our lives. Thank you, oh God, that you're with us every step of the way. Thank you that you've called us out of darkness into your light and brought us into a community of other people, like-minded people, that we can worship you together. We can find strength together. We can be encouraged together. We can help each other out. And Lord, right now I pray that you would speak to our hearts. Show us if you want us to get involved in this or not. And if you do, to what capacity? So that we can be part of the solution. We can be part of the onward investment. We can be part of the perfect vision that you have for this church and through this church to this city and this nation and this generation.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday at 9 a.m. and 11:30 a.m. Go to victoryoutreachmanchester.com for more information. See you soon.